All right, the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3. I'll read a scripture here, and then we're going to refer to several others in this chapter and the chapter before. But as is your custom, let's stand for the reading of the word tonight. Actually, two scriptures, Ephesians 3, verse 8, and then Romans chapter 11. So if you found the one and you want to flip the page to Romans 11:33, we'll read these two scriptures tonight. Verse 8, the Apostle Paul says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Let me just read on a little farther here. "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." Amen. Comma, continuance. This is a long and powerful paragraph, and I want to focus on this tonight. But let's read Romans chapter 11, verse 33. "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God!" Exclamation point there in the scripture. You see that? "How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." Amen. Let's pray, and then I'll try to share with you what's in my heart tonight, okay? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, because your word is truth, and I pray that you would grant to us ears to hear what the Spirit would say to us, that you would challenge us, speak to us, and draw us all closer to you. Cause your people tonight to feel the abundance of your blessings upon them, and Lord, to go home encouraged in you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And everybody say amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, and Romans chapter 11, verse 33, both share a word that is not necessarily a common word that we use, but one that I want to draw your attention to tonight when it refers to the unsearchable riches of Christ. Amen. In Romans, how unsearchable are his judgments. Unsearchable. I want to try to preach to you tonight on the riches of the redeemed. The riches of the redeemed. And when I refer to this word unsearchable, I'm automatically faced with a huge challenge. How do you search out something that's unsearchable? How do you explain something that is unexplainable? How do you measure something that's unmeasurable? And so I'm aware of that challenge tonight, but I don't think that the Apostle Paul meant for us to just close the book and go home and not make some attempt at understanding and appreciating the abundance of blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. Amen. It is legal to say amen on Wednesday nights, isn't it? Praise God. When I see something so amazing, so beautiful, so rare, so valuable, so magnificent, I'm drawn to it. Now, I'm not forced to turn away. That response usually is a fear response, or something that is ugly, or you know, not worthy of our attention. Amen. But that which is beautiful, rare, valuable, unsearchable, indescribable, we ought to be drawn to it so that we might appreciate it all the more. Amen. This week, we moved from the parsonage out to the country, where we're staying in a Airbnb, very nice and a very pleasant place. And I think the owners of it are German Baptist or Mennonite or something like that. Very well decorated, scriptures in place, open Bibles on the table. And it was just a very welcoming environment. But But the location is out in the country. We have fields all around about us, farm equipment going up and down the road, and it's beautiful. Last night we saw a pretty sunset on the horizon, looking off the porch there. Very pleasant place. And if the wind blows just right, the fragrance from the feedlot down the road gives us the total ambiance, okay? So country living is great. Amen. No, I love it. It's beautiful. I even went for a walk in the woods this afternoon and did some prayer time out there among the fallen leaves, and I appreciate it. I'm drawn to it. It's beautiful. That's only a beginning of trying to understand, amen, how beautiful, wonderful, marvelous, rare, valuable are the blessings of the Lord that we have in Him. Amen. Amen. The Apostle Paul is, first of all, he's very humbled at the fact that he, of all people, would have this responsibility or this privilege, he said, of preaching among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. I'm feeling that way tonight. I'm honored. It is a humbling experience to stand at any time behind the pulpit and preach the Word of God. But to try to talk about the unsearchable riches of Christ, where do we even begin? Amen. I want to tell you tonight that the redeemed people of the Lord are a wealthy people. We are rich. Amen. That doesn't necessarily mean that we have lots of money in the bank. Somebody say amen. It doesn't always mean that we drive the newest and best car, or we have the biggest and most expensive house in town. That's not what we're talking about. Amen. But I feel rich tonight. How about you? Brother Rolls, another old song. I don't know if you would know this one, but down south we used to sing the song, "I'm a poor, poor rich man." Amen. Now, I'm a poor, poor rich man. Sometimes it doesn't seem that way externally, but we know when we consider all that we have in Jesus, amen, we're wealthy people tonight. Praise God. I think we ought to try at least to get some comprehension of what this means, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Robertson Words Pictures says in his attempt to define this word, the unsearchable riches of Christ, it means not simply, because there's several definitions, but one of them means that it is immeasurable. That there's not a way to define the bigness of it. How to measure it? Do you weigh it? Do you get out a tape measure? Do you measure it in miles? And how do you measure? It's unmeasurable. So the riches of the redeemed, these unsearchable riches, they are called that because we don't have a way to fully grasp the value. You and the bigness of it. It is unmeasurable. I can't imagine really how it must have felt for Lewis and Clark when they set out on their journey to measure, amen, the vastness of the Wild West. We live just a few blocks from the Mississippi River, and probably just a mile or so from, or 2 miles from where we live is the old Lewis and Clark starting point at the mouth of the Missouri River, right along the Mississippi River. They could look across and see the mouth of the Missouri River, and there at that fort in Hartford, Illinois, near where we live, they spent months charting and discussing and planning this amazing trip that they were about to take. So we live near where they began the trip. But years ago, I was preaching a revival out in Montana, and some friends of ours took us on a little ferry boat excursion at the beginning, the top of the Missouri River, when it's just a little creek and it spills out into a pond. And in that pond, you can take a ferry boat ride, and you can see where Lewis and Clark put markings that are still visible at times on the cliffs coming from the mountains down to the Missouri River. And so, having been from Missouri to Montana and realizing the vastness of it, and we know that from their descriptions, we found out about the Rocky Mountains and the prairies of the Dakotas and Kansas and all of that winding journey that they were on. It's spectacular country. How many of you been out west? It's incredible. How do you even describe it? Well, they couldn't describe it. They couldn't measure it. Years and years and years after their great exploration, we continue to take vacations and trips and to go and try to appreciate the things that they first saw. If we could begin, if we could comprehend a little bit of that adventure, that exploration, those explorers going on a mission to try to see what was out there, then come with me tonight and see if we can't even begin an exploration of these unsearchable riches of Christ. Amen. It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. I don't know why we allow ourselves to be talked down by the devil into thinking that it's gloom, despair, and agony on me. That's not what a Christian life is all about. Amen. It's a good life living for the Lord. We don't always see it. Sometimes we see things like a beach goer going down to the ocean, and you walk down there, you kick your sandals off, you get some sand between your toes, and you look out over the rolling waves and you say, "I saw the ocean." But did you really see the ocean? Amen. Do you know that there's places where the ocean is 7 miles deep? Amen. All we saw was the surface. My cousin was a scuba diver, and when he went to Florida for his scuba diving school, he came back to Connecticut, where I was living at the time, and he said, "Oh, Mike, you cannot imagine what it's like to go on your first scuba diving trip in the ocean." He had done freshwater scuba diving before, but he got out there in the depths of the sea, and his instructor said, "Now roll over on your back," you know, and they let their tanks go below them, and they're looking up, and he said the sunlight was coming down through the water, and somehow that salt water was causing the sun rays to burst into prisms of underwater rainbows, and he said, "I cannot describe to you the beauty, amen, of deep sea diving." Well, guess what? I've never done it, so I can't tell you other than what my cousin told me, but it makes me think that there's something unsearchable, unbelievable, undescribable that we haven't seen standing here on the beach looking at the surface. Paul said these riches of the redeemed, they are unsearchable, unsearchable, unimaginable. Amen. It's interesting that that this word appears so few times in the scripture. Most people are convinced in their writings about it that they had to have gotten this word from the book of Job. In fact, it's almost an identical quote where Job said in chapter 5, verse 9, concerning God, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. Now, there's two visions that he has given to us concerning the great things of God. They are unsearchable and they are without number. Woo, come on now. Amen. And then in chapter 9, verse 10, Job says, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. It seems like Job, even in the great trial of his life, is conjuring up images of a God who is so great, so wonderful, so bountiful in his blessings. He hasn't lost his faith and hope in God. And he's reminding us even here tonight that the riches of the redeemed are unsearchable and marvelous and without number. Friends, amen, we can't allow ourselves to be so overwhelmed by the cares of this life that we forget about the other life. Amen. God's got a lot for his children. He's got a lot for his people, and they may be bigger than what we can describe, but for a surveyor trying to understand something that is unsearchable, they would think that it's unexplored or has not yet been traced out or tracked out. Amen. I think we ought to try to be spiritual surveyors tonight and see if we can't move the poles out a little farther and get a bigger image of the blessings of God. Amen. If we were an artist or a naturalist, a painter or a sculptor trying to describe things, they would be moved to the point of saying it's beyond description. It's beyond anything our paints and colors and our crayons can do. And yet, amen, I think that as Christian artists, we ought to try to grasp a beauty that's way above and beyond our regular routine in everyday life. Amen. Albert Einstein was teaching one time on the word infinity, and one of his students, after hearing him talk about infinity as being incalculable, beyond calculation, beyond numbers, infinity, the young student asked if infinity then was like the love of God. And Einstein paused and he said, well, some infinities are bigger than other infinities. Woo! Amen. Thank God for his love. Thank God for his mercy. That's what Paul is trying to draw our attention to here tonight. Look back in chapter number 2, for instance, in verse number 4, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, and hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. I don't know if you're following along with me here tonight, but Paul is making an attempt to survey, to describe, to calculate for us tonight this great love, this richness of his mercy, and the blessings of the Christian life. For we who have been quickened together with him have found a place now that's unsearchable, indescribable, uncalculable. Am I losing you somewhere in my terminology tonight? He said that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace towards us. Now, there's something that catches my attention here in this phrase, in this verse number 7, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us. In the ages to come. Amen. That makes me to think that when we get to heaven and we even have new bodies and new brains and we're even better qualified to try to understand it, he will still be trying to explain to us the exceeding riches of his grace. Hallelujah. I can tell you my testimony and give you the short version of it. I was a long-haired hitchhiking hippie when Jesus found me, but he took a long-haired hitchhiking hippie and turned him into a holiness preacher. Amen. It's a miracle of grace. But I don't know how to describe to you all of the details of what brought me to that place and what kept me after I found salvation and the numerous times that the devil tried to to tempt me and turn me aside and turn me around. And grace kept showing up. And grace kept being poured out. And grace kept helping me. And grace kept redeeming me. And grace has given me strength. And grace has been my help. And grace has been my... Come on now. Amen. I'm telling you that in the ages to come, we will still be learning about the exceeding riches of His grace. Somebody say praise God for grace tonight. Glory to God. Amen. In fact, Paul points out here in these two chapters, and I summarize them with six different things that I see here. Riches of mercy, riches of grace, riches of glory, riches of goodness, riches of wisdom, riches of knowledge, and riches of His supply. That's later on in Philippians chapter 4. But He said, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Amen. I told you that song we sang earlier, "He's All I Need, He's All I Need," would play into this message somehow. But listen, sometimes we sing that like we're struggling, like, "He's all I need. You just, you know, that little something that I need in my life, that's all I..." Come on, that's not what that song means. That song points us to the exceeding riches and abundance of His blessings, that in Him is all we need. Praise God. Amen. God's been good to us. Praise God. How many of you have ever been to the Grand Canyon? You can't just come back from the Grand Canyon and tell people that you saw a hole in the ground. But how do you describe it? Like describing the ocean earlier. How do you describe it? Amen. Praise God. I don't know. Amen. Some things are just indescribable. Some things are unmeasurable. And some things are innumerable. How many stars are there in the sky? They are without number. They are beyond finding out. But yet, there is something in the sky and something in the sea and something in the Grand Canyon that helps us to know our God is a big God. Our God is a great God. Our God is a deep God, and in Him is everything that I have need of tonight. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And I think of stories like the one I heard of some time ago. Some explorers had done research, years of research about lost treasures off the coast of Florida. And so they had special vessels with scuba diving gear and all of the chains and ropes and everything to go and see if their research paid off. And it did. They found a sunken treasure there that was worth incalculable amounts of money, rare coins, gold, silver, jewels, and all of that. What a find. It made the news. It's a part of a history in the Treasure Seekers Almanac, amen, which I know y'all have, right? But what I started to say, for years, fishermen had rowed their boats out there or drove their boats out there and cast their fishing lines over it. Maybe there were even young teenage boys that had jumped into the water and swam in those very waters, swam, fished, amen, enjoyed the pleasures of being there, not knowing that right below them, a few feet, was treasure beyond description. And I'm afraid that that's what it's like for a lot of people who come and sit on a church pew and we go through the motions and maybe even we know a song or two to sing along with, but we don't know how close we are to abundant riches in Christ. In Christ. Amen. You remember reading maybe here a while back. It's been several years ago now, but this couple was out walking their dog in California. They had a house that their yard butted right up against the state forest, and so they had privilege to hike the trails and everything there, and that was quite an advantage all of its own. But one day they started out towards that trail, and a little shining glimmer caught their eye, and they went over and saw it. The water of the recent rains had washed enough of the soil away that they saw a piece of an old tin can sticking up and one little coin edge kind of gleaming, and they started digging, and it got bigger and bigger and bigger, and when they finally got done digging, they found 1,427 rare gold coins dated from 1847 to 1894, and at the last time that I read about it, it was estimated worth $10 million buried in an old can in the backyard. Keep digging, saints. And pay your tithe. I'm talking spiritually tonight. There's a lot more to this Christian life than what we've yet dug up. There's a lot more for us to experience. There's a lot more for us to enjoy. Praise God. And I want you to know the two main points, I think, of this message are to remind us of the supernatural source of these blessings. The superior source was the word I was stumbling over to say. The superior source of our blessings. And then to think of the amazing supply that we have in these blessings as redeemed people of God. Amen. They are unsearchable. They are innumerable. And they are inexhaustible. So what does that have to do with us? It means that things are better than what they might appear to you in the physical world right now. Amen. And don't let the devil talk you out of the blessings of God. You go through a hard time and a trouble and a trial, and some unknown source whispers into your ear, why don't you just quit? Why don't you just give up? It's not worth it anymore. And I'm going to tell you, you need to just keep digging. There's more where the other blessings came from. Amen. Somehow or another, we get so overwhelmed with the superficial things of this world that we forget the abundance of God's blessings. And another trick of the enemy is to make you think that God doesn't love you enough, that God has forgotten you, maybe everybody else, but somehow or another, there's not enough for you, that somehow the devil will remind you of your sins and your failures and your faults and your flaws and your fallings, and bring you to the point that makes you feel like you've exhausted the mercies of God. That God, amen, how can he show you mercy yet again? Now, I'm not encouraging you to keep sinning and sinning. Even the Apostle Paul warned us against that. Not to sin just to show that there is grace. Amen. But if you do sin, in fact, John said, my children, I write unto you that you sin not. But if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father. The grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ is inexhaustible. It will never run out. He loves you too much to give up on you. He's not gonna turn his back and say, sorry, you've had enough. That's it. No more mercy, no more grace, no more love. I'm telling you, it is inexhaustible, indescribable. And we ought to praise God for his amazing benefits tonight. Praise the Lord. Stand with me this evening. In Matthew 13, if we could have some music, who's going to play for us tonight? All right, Sister Cruz. In Matthew 13, we have a strange parable. Many of the parables that Jesus told us, we struggle to understand. But we've got to keep trying to understand because they are loaded with truth that he intends for us to try to search out and discover and explore. And one of those is about a man who finds a treasure in a field. You remember that? And then he goes and he sells everything to buy that field. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like unto a treasure in a field. And a man goes, he sells everything to buy that field. Now stop and think about what his friends and family are saying about him now. He's selling everything to buy that field. Has he lost his mind? What has happened to him? Why? What is special about that field? Well, that man has discovered something that they don't yet know. He found out that there's a treasure in that field. And all of the ridicule of his friends is going to be worth it to buy that field. And all of the risk involved with selling all that he has is going to be worth it to buy that field. Is it for the field? It's for the treasure. I don't know about you, but I found a treasure. And it's been worth it to me to sell out everything of the world. Whether everybody understood it or not, I found a treasure. I'm glad to know that in him, in Christ, through Christ, and by his Spirit, all of these things are provided for us. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Oh my, I dug up a lot of things concerning these scriptures tonight, but for the sake of time, we'll cut it short and just let you get out your own measuring tools, your own scales. I'm going to tell you this. I don't think we can ever be really true Christians if we're not also somewhat of an explorer, an adventurer, a treasure hunter, a mountain climber, a deep sea diver. Because you will never understand the great mystery of what God has provided for us if you don't ever go exploring. What is it, Lord, you want to show me now? Teach me now? Do for me now? Work in me now, Lord? I know there's more. How about you tonight? Come and find a place to pray before you go home. I know that the bus workers generally slip out about now. And if you need to do that, you go right ahead. But if you can, want to stay and consider some of the riches of the redeemed, the blessings of the Lord.
He's all I need.
Oh, the blessings
when
of the Lord. And he addeth no sorrow with it.
He's always there to hear my prayer each time I call him.
Thank you, Lord. The blessings of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. I'm a poor, poor rich man tonight.
And he's all I need. He comforts me when I'm weary. He eases every pain. He fills my deepest longing. Time and time again, my soul's inspiration, my heart. all I need. I need not turn to any other. He's a friend who sticks closer than any brother. On this friend I can rely to be my strength as life goes by. He's the Lord of all, and he's all I need. He comforts me when I'm weary. He says every pain, he fills my deepest longing. Time and time again, he's my soul's inspiration, my heart's consolation. He's my everything, and he's all I need. He comforts me